I had some of the brethren ask me if they could lead the singing this morning, and I told them no, I would just go ahead and do that since I needed something to keep me occupied and keep me from being so nervous this morning. By the way, it didn't work. I speak at the nursing home every week, but it's different than when you stand in the house of God and speak. Join with me and let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank You this morning for the privilege we have to be in Thy house, to have fellowship with Thy people. But Lord, we stand in great need of fellowship with Thee. We need Your presence, Lord. We need Your Spirit. We need You, Father, to bless us to see Your Word, understand truth, and Father, speak truth. I beg You this morning, Lord, to bless us, that we might be able to feel the presence of Thy Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, that we might be able to see Jesus in Thy Word. I beg You this morning, Lord, to give me a ready turn of thought and loose my tongue and bless me, Lord, that I might be able to speak boldly the truth from the Word of God this morning. Help us all, Father. Give us a special measure of Thy grace this morning as we endeavor now to worship Thee from Thy Word. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You know that the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is the chapter that we normally consider being the chapter of faith in the Word of God. It goes over many of the great patriarchs of the times that have passed. It talks about the great faith that these men had, and we draw strength from looking at them and seeing how God blessed them because of the faith that they had. And as the writer of this goes on down towards the end of the 11th chapter, I'm going to begin reading in the 32nd verse. It is believed that Paul is the writer of this book, and beginning in the 32nd verse of the 11th chapter, the Scripture says, "And what shall I say? For the time would not, the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who thought faith subdued kingdoms, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Now, as I understand this, the writer is saying that there is so much that it just cannot be told. There's so much and so many different people of faith, though we normally think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all of those, there are so many others that time just would not allow to discuss and to talk about all those things. But these were all great men of faith. They were all great men of faith who were challenged in their faith. And they stood the test even unto death. Now, beginning in the 12th chapter, the Scripture says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I want us to think primarily about this 12th verse, the first verse of the 12th chapter, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we live in a generation, we live in a time where there's always people watching us. And especially if we profess to be Christians, there are those who would look for fault in us very much as they did in our Lord Jesus Christ. They were men who followed Him around, seeking to find Him doing things that He preached against. They would question Him about that which He did on the Sabbath. They were always looking to find fault with Him because He was the Son of God. Because He professed to be a man of God, they were those who would destroy Him. And you know, it's no different today with you and I. If you profess Christianity, if you profess to follow after God, if you profess to love Jesus Christ, there are those watching you to find something to tear you down and to find something that says your Christianity is nothing. You're of no value. You have no worth. We need to be careful. We need to be careful in all that we say. We need to be careful in all that we listen to. We need to be careful in all the things that we do, all the business transactions that we make. In everything that we do, we need to be careful, for there are those looking at us. There are those watching us to see our feet slip that we might fall. But I understand even more than the knowledge that there are those seeking to find fault with us. I believe, as the Scripture talks about here, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I believe that the Scripture here is also speaking of those that have gone before us. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their spirits are watching over us. They're watching us to see if we're going to stand firm in our faith as they stood firm in their faith. There is that cloud of witnesses, if you will. There are those that embodied in the Spirit who are watching us to see if we're going to pass the test, if we're going to stand firm, if we're going to stand steadfast, even unto death as they did. The Scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, when we have been born of the Spirit of God, we now are a new creature. We're no longer just a creature of the flesh, but we now have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And that makes us a new creature. We're different. Something has changed. Something has happened. We're now embodied not only with the Spirit of the flesh, but we are now embodied with the Spirit of God. We now are able to love God and follow Him and cherish Him and worship Him when before we were not. Because the man in his natural state hates God. And until God gives us His Spirit, until we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, until we've been born again, we cannot love God. It's impossible for this man of flesh, who is a man of sin, to turn to God and to love Him. So we become a new creature, and as a new creature, we need to walk as such. We need to walk exemplifying Christ in our lives. But the Scripture teaches us in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, we don't do these good works that others might pat us on the back. We don't do these good works that others might glorify us and lift up the name of David. We do these good works that others might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And we are the light of the world. I'll tell you, if our light has no lightness, then there is no light in the world. We have been put here for a purpose. God has given us His Spirit for a reason. We are to exemplify Christ in the earth. We are to stand the test. We are to be as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are to be men of great faith and women of great faith who walk the straight and narrow way, who are not afraid, of what's going to happen to them if they stand the test. We need to be men of courage and women of courage and of faith, walking the straight and narrow, walking the difficult path. While all men can walk the broad way, we need to walk that straight and narrow way. Scripture says that we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that thus so easily beset us. We all, when we were in the flesh, we carried this weight of sin. And as we've been born again, the Scripture says, you've been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You see, we weren't sick, and He didn't heal us. We were dead. And I know you've heard this many times. Dead men don't reach their hand for Christ. Dead men can't do anything. You go to this graveyard behind this building here and you see what grave men can do. Dead men can do. Dead men can't do anything. We were dead in trespasses and sin when Jesus gave us life. We weren't sick. We didn't just need help. We were dead and He made us alive. By grace and grace alone are we saved. Jesus didn't make a down payment and we had to pay the rest of it. He paid the whole price, you see. The whole price was paid by Jesus. Scripture goes on to say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Did you know that when you're born again, you're given the gift of faith? Even faith is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Listen, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Yes, brethren, we're saved by grace. But we are ordained unto good works. Those good works are not going to take us through the pearly gates. That work that Jesus Christ did is the only work that will take us through the pearly gates. But I'm telling you that Jesus saved us and we have been ordained unto good works. We are to be the light of the world. Our light is to shine. We're to be men of faith. We were made spiritually alive. We were made new creatures, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, you see. That spark, that new life that is born in us, enables us to now please God with our lives. You know, recently, I believe last week, Brother Billy preached about Saul. When Samuel came to Saul and ordained him, anointed him to be king, the expression in the Word of God is that when you do these things will happen and you will become another man. You see, he had been anointed to be king, but he had not yet taken over the position as king. And he was going to become another man. And when we're born of the Spirit of God, we need to become another man. We need to become different. Our darkness needs to turn to light. There was a man in the Old Testament, his name was Enoch. And the Scripture says that he walked with God and he pleased God. And he was not, for he was translated. That is, God took him. He did not die the natural death that you and I die. He was taken. He was taken on in his body to be with Christ. He pleased God. And I like to study that lesson, and I like to see in there that old man that Enoch was, he was not. He was something different. He was something special. And this old man of David and whoever, all of you, we need to be different. We need to not be that old man anymore. The man that I used to be, you should be able to look at me and say, I see him no more. I now see Christ in you, you see. Created unto good works. Now John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. And that's the way it needs to be in your life and in mine. This old man needs to decrease and Jesus needs to increase in our lives. We've got to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. You know, this laying aside is putting away. This laying aside is getting rid of. This weight, this burden, this load that we carry, it's cumbersome. It'll slow you down. You can't achieve what you could achieve. Have you ever just tried to put on a heavy winter outfit and then jump into a swimming pool and see how well you can swim? I tell you, when all those clothes get soaked down and you get all weighted down, you're doing good to just stay on top of the water, let alone try to swim. And when we get all weighted down with sin, we just can't move. We can't serve God like we ought to. We need to get rid of every weight and the sin that so easily surrounds us. Sometimes we are so weighted down with burdens and troubles in life that we are not serving God as we ought to. But you know, God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't need to let everything that comes along weigh us down because it's going to slow our service down for God. We're not going to be able to run the course as we ought. We're not going to be able to run the race as we ought. We are flesh. And we still do have the natural man to contend with. We live and we move and we have our being just like everybody else. And sometimes we find ourselves so bogged down in the things of this world that it's as though we're harnessed up to the things of this world and we're just trying to push forward as best we can. We're not giving God His due service. We're not as we ought to be. Freed from all those things, faithful to God in all things. Sometimes we let burdens and problems, and sometimes we have things that just fill our minds, and we worry about things that just never ever come to pass. And yet we'll fill our minds with those concerns and those worries. It ought not to be. God's not given us that spirit of fear. That spirit of fear comes from the devil. God's given us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. A lot of time we get all bogged down in our work. We get all bogged down in our pleasures, the things of this world. But we know and understand from the Scripture. The Scripture teaches us in Matthew, says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Whatever it is that you love in life, that's what's going to capture your heart. And that's what you're going to follow after. I'll tell you what. You need to be careful not to get so bogged down in the things of this world, and I speak to myself this morning, that we need to not get so bogged down in things of this world that we're not able to go forward in our service to God. And if we're not moving forward, brethren, we better be careful, because we're going to start sliding backwards. And the Bible talks about backsliding. Oh, how the children of Israel would go forward for a while and they would backslide. And we as the people of God, we go forward for a while. We get up on the clouds sometimes and we just see the glory of God. And if we aren't careful, we're back down here wallowing in the mud and we're just all bogged down in everything that's going on in the world around us. Our lights need to shine. They need to shine brightly. I tell you, one of the best ways is just to begin to see the problems that we have in our lives and to repent of those things. For God has told us that He will forgive us of those sins. In Acts 3 and 19, the Scripture says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We need to repent to God. And you know, we need to labor together. We need to love one another and exhort one another daily, which is, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, you might see me, or you might see someone, a brother that you love, and you might see them begin to follow after a particular course of sin, whatever it might be. It might be alcohol or whatever. You owe it to that brother to go to him and work with him and exhort him that he might not get caught in that entrapment. You see, we need to exhort one another daily. Christians sin just like everybody else. We are sinners. And I want you to know this. If you never committed a sin from the time you were born until the time you died, you'd still be a sinner. You know why you'd be a sinner? Because our father Abraham sinned. And his blood runs through our veins. And by the sin of one, all became sinners. You see, it's not just the sins that we sin that makes us sinners. We are born sinners. And it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse that sin. Nothing else is going to cleanse it. If I never sin again, it doesn't mean that I'm good enough to go to heaven. It takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse the sin of Adam. It takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse the sins that I commit every day. But not committing sins doesn't make me not a sinner. I'm a sinner by the blood of Adam, you see. We are sinners in both ways. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need help, brethren. And we're going to find that help in one place. And that help is in Jesus. That help is in Jesus. Scripture says this, "For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You see, Jesus has been tempted in every way that you'll ever be tempted. But you know what? Jesus did not yield. Jesus did not sin. Jesus is our high priest. He understands our temptations. And when it seems that no one else is there for us, Jesus is always there. We need to go to Him in prayer. For we have a high priest who knows and understands. The Scripture says that we need to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, that's our only help. That's the only way we're going to get to the finish line. We have a course to run. We have a race that is set before us. And we need to be running that race. I want you to listen to the Word of God as it's found over in the book of Acts, chapter 20. "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem," Paul said, "not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul didn't consider his life more valuable than the joy that was before him in finishing the race that had been set before him. It goes on to say in the Philippian letter, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ." All things. You know, Paul had more than most of us will ever have. He was a man of authority. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of power. And he gave up everything. He counted all of that but dung that he might follow after Jesus. 1 Corinthians says, "Know ye not, they which run in a race run all?" That is, don't you know that those that run, everybody's running? But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. 1 Corinthians 9:24. What are we running for? What are we trying to win? What is the prize that is set before us? I think you know. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That prize is the kingdom of heaven. It's the place where we sit down with Jesus Christ while we live and we have fellowship with Him. And He brings us power to resist the temptations of the devil. We have sweet times of fellowship with Him. We have joy. We have peace. That's the prize. The prize is not eternal heaven. All that the Father hath given the Son, He died for, and all that He died for shall be saved. So why run? If that's the prize, I'll tell you, there's a prize. There is a special place in the life in which we live here upon the earth where we can sit down with Jesus Christ, where we can sit down in the presence of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those that have gone before us, those witnesses, those who are watching. There's a place, and it's called the kingdom. Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, He despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. I'll tell you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, all those patriarchs that are mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they all had to suffer, but none suffered like Jesus Christ. For He hung upon the cross and took upon Him sin that did not belong to Him. He took your sins and mine, a man who knew no sin, a man who was the Son of God. Holy, divine, sacred was He. And He hung upon the cross. And your dirty sins and mine came upon Him. And He bore them. He paid the price that I couldn't pay. He paid the price that you couldn't pay. He died in your stead. He died in my stead. That we wouldn't have to die eternally. But brethren, there is joy in this life. In His kingdom. He reigns and rules today. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And we need to sit down with Him and worship Him. But we got to run the race. We got to stay the course. We got to put all this stuff aside. Lay aside every weight that holds us back. You see, we're not going to be a good runner. We're not going to win the race if we're all weighted down with the sins of this life. We got to clean up. We got to put them away. We got to get down slim, and we got to run hard, and we got to run fast. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that enter in thereat. Those are the winners. The few that make it to the end course. The few that enter thereat. Those are the ones that run the course. Those are the ones that win the prize, you see. Those are the ones who enter into the kingdom. Brethren, I hope God will bless us to see and understand that we all have weights that are weighting us down in our service to God. And we need to get rid of those weights. We need to get rid of all those things. We need to lay aside every weight and sin. And we need to follow after Jesus Christ. Run the race. Seek the prize. Prize is great joy, peace, and righteousness with Jesus Christ. May God help us and bless us to do that is my prayer for Christ's sake.